Back here on In Focus News Radio KMAN, talking today with Riley County Historical Museum Curator of Design, Alana Parker. We're talking history of Halloween in Riley County, and also we'll be talking a little bit later about the Sunset Cemetery history. And Dave, do we have a caller here? No, we don't. Okay. Must have been something else here. If you have any calls, if you'd like to call in and participate and tell us maybe some of your favorite Halloween memories as a child, give us a call at 537-1350. Love to hear some of those. We're talking a little bit about how things looked about 100 years ago in Riley County. Parties obviously have always been a thing, even though not so much in 2020. But
right.
I know parties were popular. Costume parties in particular, or what did people participate in back then?
Yes, costume parties. So in particular, that one that I just mentioned, it talks about kind of a masquerade party. So whether it was a handmade mask or one, there was stores like the Spot Cash store, which was downtown Manhattan. You could find advertisements where they're selling Halloween decorations that you could use in your home and some costumes. But so they did that at the time. But mostly, I thought it was really funny. There was a lot of mischief going on in the community at that time. One of the other funny stories that we came across in researching was, so this would have been Halloween night, and there were some college guys that went and took a couple cannons from Kansas State Agricultural College and somehow hauled them up to the top of Bluemont Hill. And it says, well, I guess this would have been just before Halloween. So Halloween night, between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, they fired the cannon 4 times. So it says, the terrible, unusual noise raised the citizens in the north part of the town, and I'm sure even beyond that. So it seems that they would always try to beat the previous year's mischief. And so to imagine hauling these cannons up to Bluemont Hill and then they're firing them at 2 to 3 in the morning to let everybody know that it was Halloween night, I thought was kind of funny.
That is cool. I wish something like that could happen these days. How awesome would that be?
See, and that's why I thought we better mention, in no way are we advocating doing any of this. But and then another one. And again, it's I hate to say it, it seems to be always the college guys that are partaking in this mischief. It says, this was 1888. As usual, the boys did not let Halloween pass without celebrating the event. There was a change in the manner of mischief, less gate pulling and more noise. In the evening, a squad of 55 boys, blowing horns, marched through the streets, and every household heard them as they marched along. The change was satisfactory to those who, on previous Halloweens, had to spend a day or two hunting up their gates. So it seems that noise was also a popular thing to let everyone know that it was Halloween, too, whether it's cannons up on the top of Bluemont Hill or a group of guys that going through the streets and blowing horns. I just think that'd be a lot of fun to witness.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned taking the gates. So I imagine back in 100 years ago plus, there was a lot of farms in Manhattan and Riley County. So if they were to take a gate, then they'd probably lose some of their livestock, right?
Lose their livestock. And then the gates are also in the fences to keep animals or livestock out. So, for example, there was actually, I'll just mention this here real quickly. Cows find their way into public buildings. So not only are they removing the gates so the cows would get in on the property outside, but then they would take it a step further, and it sounds like in public buildings they're actually somehow managing to get inside and get the livestock inside those buildings. And that was in the 1940s. That was in the paper. So that was some of the pranks would be to get livestock into public buildings. But those gates, and for example, the gate around K-State, that was meant to keep the livestock out, too, from trampling the crops and gardens. So, but yeah, so you can imagine losing your gate and not being able to find it would be quite a frustration, and obviously something easy it sounded like for Halloween goers to do at night is just to steal the gates.
Wow, that's interesting. And obviously, I could see if you're a prankster why that would be, you know, amusing to somebody, but also very frustrating for the property owners there.
absolutely. And they did say in the papers they put rewards in. If those gates aren't returned within a day, they're going to come find you. So it's all fun and games, but at a certain point, you know, they have to draw the line, which that's what I thought that line in the paper was just so funny. Just a word of warning, though, the line between pranks and prison is awfully easy to step over.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, as far as other games that are we associate with Halloween, bobbing for apples is one. Was that a popular activity back then?
Absolutely. So that was something that was common at a lot of these parties. They would have these bobbing for apple, the games, as you mentioned. And this was more, the origins are kind of rooted in love and romance. And so there were different variations, ways to play the game. But in one set of rules, so each person there would be assigned a partner. So the bobber would attempt to bite into an apple in the water and then name the partner she was with. So it would be the woman that bobs for the apple. And if she was able to get it on the first try, supposedly that would then be the partner that she would married. And then if it took, for example, three tries, then their relationship, whoever that partner was, would be doomed. So it's kind of funny to find that history there, too. So they would do that, and different superstitions, you know, as I mentioned, the haunted houses, and they'd go down into the basement and then look over their shoulder in a mirror, and then supposedly if there was a man in the mirror, that would be the man that they would marry. So different games like that, especially the college students would play.
Nice. Well, are there any places in particular for the haunted houses maybe that still exist? Any buildings that were deemed to be haunted back then?
Oh, that's a great question. Of course, there are some that people do believe to be haunted. We did do some research a couple years ago just to see if there was any real substance to those claims, just as far as actual events that occurred there. And of course, there was the fraternity house there at 1100 Fremont that claimed to be haunted, and some of those stories that come out from that. But we weren't able to find anything that would substantiate that. But there are those. I mean, it's just kind of fun that in the month of spooky things to talk about those and you know, those stories that they're haunted. And I don't know if they still have a haunted house, if they do that at all. Of course, this year is a little different. But yes, there are some, and then those houses that are mentioned for parties, it lists the address for them. So if anybody's interested in seeing if anything like that occurred in their home, you know, you can look up the address and Halloween on newspapers.com, which is a fantastic resource that we use here every day at the museum. But you can actually find if you, any sort of Halloween party took place in your home.
Okay, that's pretty cool. It'd be neat to find out if maybe 100 years ago, if you're living in one of the older homes, if, you know, maybe it was a house that traditionally got toilet papered or something.
Yes. I am so thankful I've never had to clean up toilet paper tree mess.
And especially this year, you'd hope that that wouldn't happen this year with all the shortages we've seen in toilet paper. Let's hope that's not a thing.
Oh, please. I never thought it would be difficult to find toilet paper in the store.
No, absolutely not.
When you've got one roll left in the house, you start to feel like you're in a pickle.
That's right. I'll tell you what, let's take another break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Sunset Cemetery a little bit and the history of that location and continue our conversation with Alana Parker here on K-Man.